Everybody in Dawson that could pile on to the train was on it for the first trip. And there was Billy O'Brien, his wife, and their first daughter. They were on there. Everybody was having a good time.
It was all decorated up with flags.
And yes, and all kinds of flags and bunting, American and Canadian flags.
Grand Forks was a good-sized town in those days, wasn't it? How many people would you say were there then?
Oh, I really don't know how many, but there must have been 4,000 or 5,000 people then at the Forks.
It's still there, eh?
Yes. They had 5 hotels there, 2 clothing stores, telephone office, and they had 3 telephone operators working. There was 2 butcher shops.
And there's just nothing left there anymore, just 3 cabins, that's all.
I think there's about 3 cabins left.
That's all.
And the railroad track is the road now.
Oh, yes, that's right, too. Now, you went out on that railway, didn't you?
Yes, I took a trip up on the railroad to go over on Dominion Creek. And you got up to the summit, and on the summit there was a buses, there were the stages there. You could go down to Dominion, or you could go over to Quartz Creek, or down Bonanza.
And you mentioned going over those high trestle bridges.
Yes, and trestles, instead of going into the gullies, why, they built bridges right across.
Mm-hmm. You said they were very high.
To cut it off, make the road shorter, you see, because it's almost impossible to go into those gullies.
Yeah.
And the trestle was very high. And the conductor asked me what I was looking at. I says, well, I'm just looking down to see how far, if this train was to topple over, how far we'd fall.
They carried great cords of wood, didn't they? That
yes, all the wood for the sawing. When the Guggenheims opened up, the sawing was all done by wood. And the train did all the hauling, from the wood. The wood come mostly from over on Dominion and Quartz Creek.
And then they hauled supplies for the miners. That was
all the miners got their supplies. The Creeks all got their supplies from the summit, the railroad. They had their station at the summit there, and that's where they unloaded everything, and then the stages would take it.
Oh, yes. Then they had the station right here in the middle of town, didn't they? Right down here.
Yes.
By the Bank of Commerce, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it? Oh, yes. Do you remember the last few trips of the train? They just...
No, I don't. I was out on the creeks.
Oh, yes.
And I don't remember.
And so, 3 small engines were left at Klondike City. For half a century, the weeds grew up around the locomotives, and when the road to Klondike City became impassable, it looked as though the engines would simply disintegrate. However, the Dawson City Museum and Historical Society have been making arrangements to have a locomotive set up here as a tourist attraction. It took considerable planning and preparation to get the engines to Dawson, and Dick Gillespie volunteered his time and equipment to bring one of them over from Klondike City. Dick, what preparations did you have to make before bringing the engine over from Klondike City to Dawson?
Well, 2 falls ago, we went over and jacked it up, put it on the skids, and had it all ready to bring across on the ice. Because it was the only way we could come over to keep under the wires and stuff. But last winter, the ice wasn't any good. The water had jammed up, and the ice was high, and there was only about 10 inches of ice and off the water. So we had to let it go until this year. I went down and tested the ice about a month ago. It was anywhere up to 4 feet, 2.5 to 4 feet, and I knew that was lots.
What would be the minimum ice that you would cross the river on?
About, well, I'd like to have 2.5 feet, anyway.
How much did this little engine and tender weigh? I imagine that even though it doesn't look very big, it has quite a bit of weight to it.
I had guessed about 30 ton, but I understand now that it was 73,000 pounds.
And that includes the little tender, I suppose. How long was the actual haul?
Oh, about 3/4 mile, I think.
And where did you cross over?
Just below the power plant, pretty close to the mouth of the Klondike.
What equipment did you use to make this move?
A D6 and a D7.
Are you a little uneasy when you're crossing ice? Is it a job that you could get along without, let's say?
Oh, yes, I sure am. I've been gone through the ice with cats before. One time we went through the ice, the cat hung up on the ice, and it stayed there for 3 days till we got rigged up to pull on it. As soon as we pulled on it, it dropped right down into 14 feet of water.
Would you get much warning in a case like that?
Sometimes, sometimes not. Sometimes you can see water coming up around you, and other times it just drops right through, especially if the ice is off the water and you have no warning at all.
What precautions do you take in case of this happening, Dick?
I test the ice, make sure the water is right up under the ice. If the drill holes through the ice, see how thick it is, and the water has to come up near the top of the hole to make good ice.
Oh, I see. Now, how long did this whole operation take, and what else was involved in doing it?
Well, I had to test the ice first, and then I went down with the cat, fixed up a road so that the train wouldn't tip or anything, filled in all the holes with snow and brush, and built a ramp up onto Front Street that I could, with snow and brush, that I could pull the train up. I let it freeze. It doesn't take very long to freeze, maybe overnight, but it turned cold, so I let the snow freeze for 10 days, I guess, before I warmed up enough to start the cats to bring it over.
So that means that off and on, then you worked about 2 weeks on this whole operation. It was a substantial contribution you made to the Museum and Historical Society, and everyone in Dawson certainly appreciates your generosity. Thank you very much, Dick Gillespie. This is Athel Retallick in Dawson City.